is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
McCartney is sponsored by Burger King, Commonwealth Bank, J.S. Johnson, Marco's Pizza, NUA Insurance Agents and Brokers, Bronze Electric Motors, and Struckon Pest Control.
Welcome to The Revolution here on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. My name is Juan McCartney. Good to have you with us. Sorry about the late start. Traffic out there is literally gridlocked. I had to make some dip and dive through some side corners. So a couple of things. First, someone messaged me today and implored me to have the government remove the boat with Brave Davis's face on it. Find a six-legged roundabout. My boy Tito. Like, where was the connection? Like, he saw the, he seen a boat with Brave, and he said, I call one. Wong can move the boat. Y'all move that boat. It's a problem. Y'all move the boat. The second thing is this, right? Look, man, when y'all started this thing with Village Road, I was in y'all corner, you know. I was like, well, hell yeah, fix Village Road. Look, man, it's been months and months and months. Y'all do not know what y'all are doing. You're digging up the same parts of Village Road over and over and over, and you fill them back in and you dig them back up. Today, right, opposite the, you know where Kelso thing is? In that, the plaza with the dot, you don't know what I mean, on Village Road. Anyway, they are digging up literally 50 yards from the intersection of Parkgate Road and Village Road, which is also a mess. They are digging up a huge trench with tractors, and there's only one lane available, and two lanes of cars are trying to get through. There's nobody directing traffic. It's the height of the day. People are preparing for a hurricane. The QC closed at 12. You're making no sense. I no longer have confidence that you know what you're doing. Usually when you start a renovation project or something like that, I'm like, you know what? Let's see it through. Let's imagine what it is on the other side. You're just making our lives miserable with this Village Road thing. Now they're saying January is going to be open. So that means next summer sometime Village Road maybe. And meantime, somebody's getting paid millions and millions and millions of dollars. And they're doing a horrible job. Horrible. I was with you. Now I know you don't know what you're doing. I was out there today. You don't have any traffic. Whoever it is, I don't know who it is. It looked like the road people. It could be a utility. You got a huge, stupid tractor digging up the road while cars are trying to squeeze through. You don't even have the sense to put a road closed sign up. You don't have the intelligence and planning to say, let me have someone direct traffic. No, just screw it all. It is what it is. And no one from government's even checking. Last we heard was from Alfred Sears. He's like, oh, yeah, we were going to go. We were going to move a pipe next year. Or somebody said in the town meeting, we were going to move a water pipe next year, but it's going to take longer now because we're going to move it now. You're telling me that you are going to pave Village Road and then go dig it back up to get a pipe that you didn't want to move it? What are you talking about? You see what they did to BNT? It's ridiculous. Anyway. Here's the other thing. I'm going to get it personal with you, right? Because I like to bare my parts of my soul. Even though it's the reward is nil. I am on a mission to instill a sense of accountability in the Bahamas. Okay? Now, here's what that looks like. That's not just me holding the government accountable. We need to learn personal accountability and responsibility, and we have to push back against the notion that people are helpless, weak, feckless, and the government must do everything, and we must push back on the notion from the government that they can operate without transparency, and we need to have an accountability society, okay? So a couple of things. Yesterday, and this bothered me, very much so, and I tried not let it get to me, but I'm a human being, I'm not a robot. Yesterday, I urged people to prepare for the hurricane, and the texter said to me, I don't know if I'll ever forget this, where the money coming from to prepare for the hurricane? Now, first of all, you should be ashamed of yourself, all right? As an adult, I assume you're an adult and not a child. Where do you think the money's coming from the hurricane? What is the suggestion? The government should come give out cash so you can prepare for the hurricane? Or open a big warehouse where the entirety of New Providence can go pick up supplies? What are you talking about? The money comes from you. You need to personally protect your property, supply yourself, or you're not a functional human being. There's something wrong with you. You are disabled in some way. Do you think everyone's waiting around to prepare for the hurricane until Dumbledore sends a magic owl from Hogwarts with food coupons? Are you a child that needs the government to spoon feed you and wipe your bottom? Where's the money coming from a hurricane? You might as well give up on life. You need to go out to sea. You need to go out on one of them keys, right? And just go see if you could make it off of coconuts and fishing. Where's the money coming from for you to personally prepare yourself and your property for the hurricane? With big open economy. Where's the money coming from? And that bothered me because it goes back to the core of accountability, personal responsibility. So I was, and I'm getting personal because I want to come to a conclusion here, and then we'll take a break. I don't care how you feel about it. It is what it is. On the way here, deadlocked in traffic, I was listening to 97, right? Issues of the Day. And Christian Jones is the host. He's Wendell Jones' son. I really enjoyed listening to Wendell Jones because his fuse was 10 times shorter than my own. And he really brings an informed perspective to things that I respect, even though I didn't agree with him all the time. And Christian Jones is good, too. Of course, you know, Wendell Jones went to go be the U.S. ambassador, the Bahamas ambassador to the U.S. And I'm going to contact Christian Jones, so I don't want you to, because he's one of my cousin's best friends. I'm going to contact him, because I want to tell him that. I don't want you to say, well, Juan was saying something bad about Christian. That's not the case, but I'm going to tell him. And he's been doing the show probably less than a year, right? And he's very good at it. And he's very well-educated, and he's very informed. And he has a sharp analytical mind, right? However, due to the nature of him being new to it, he's a little too welcoming of points of view that make absolutely no sense. So I'm driving over. So I'm thinking about the guy who's waiting on the owl from Dumbledore yesterday to help him to prepare, or he'll die, right? If no one gives you some money to get hurricane, you're going to die, right? You're going to fuck. That's what you're going to do for someone else to get bring you some money so you could have something to eat during the hurricane. So I'm turning that over in my head, and then I'm turning over people want to go back to the shantytown thing, right? And then the show, people call Christian, Godfrey starts talking about shantytowns. And then they start calling Christian Jones talking about shantytowns because there's no storm coming for Grand Bahama. Anyway, a guy calls Issues of the Day and said, and I've heard him before, and he doesn't make any sense. And I don't mean to insult you. You just don't make any sense. Rarely. He said, with all the money the government has borrowed over the years, we should have hurricane shelters built by the government with space for everybody on every island. And it's shameful, he says, I'm paraphrasing, that the government didn't build hurricane shelters for every soul in the Bahamas. Now, here's my question. Where in the world has that happened? Where on earth? Where is the country on earth that has built hurricane shelters, the government built hurricane shelters for every single soul? Please direct me to it. And so that, compounded with the shantytown thing, and I'll be honest with you, compounded with the guy, he's waiting on Dumbledore, I decided to myself in my car today, you know what? I'm quitting doing this show. I can't do it. I can't do it. There's too much lunacy out here. There's too much nonsense out here. This is like, you know, 100 things inform you and you make a split decision. And so that was my split decision. I'm quitting doing the show. I make money doing this show. I need this show for the money it makes me. It's an integral part of my budget. But I thought to myself, I'm going to quit the show. I'm going to go, you know what? There's probably some night audit work I could do at a hotel. There's probably, like, you know, I could take up bartending. Something, right? Something. Because you get the sense sometimes, because there are people out here, that all of this has been for nothing, right? So all trying to educate the public, trying to help people understand government finances, trying to help people understand the economy, trying to help people understand the law, and you goofballs tell me bring on a lawyer because only them can read. It's all fallen flat, right? I had a conversation with Ed Fields maybe a year ago, right? And he was like, he regrets that the airwaves ever opened up because it dumbed down the population. And I said, no, I think overall we've done a good job because some people are just never going to change their ways, all right? And as I decided to quit my show today, I said to myself, I thought back to the conversation with Ed Fields and what I told him as to why I'm not going to quit. And also I had a similar conversation with Jeff Lloyd several years ago. And two things. The first thing is, I'm not quitting this show unless I get something else that makes me more money and then I'm out, so don't even ask. I'm not quitting doing this show because, one, I'm not letting ignorant, unaccountable, irresponsible, vitriolic people mess up my money. I'd be a fool. My father would come out of his grave and slap me. How you gonna let somebody mess up your money, son? Because they hold idiotic opinions. So I'm not quitting shows. I'm not letting you mess up my money. Again, if I get a lucrative offer, I will stop doing this. I do this for money. I'm just to be real with you. But while I'm doing it, here's the second reason I'm not quitting. I'm not quitting because I am on a mission to drive accountability, responsibility, and sense throughout this Bahama land. Not for you people who are already finished. No one could change your mind. You think that the government should come and take care of your every need, which is part of the government's fault because they act like they can. I'm doing this for the generations to come who build the better Bahamas because they can think clearly and understand our country. Okay? So I'm going to drive accountability and responsibility across the board straight through while I'm doing it. But y'all make me want to quit. What this song was? Remember Usher? What's that song? You make me want to leave the one I'm with. Start a new relationship. Maybe that isn't a good comparison. a good theme song. So you make a brother want to give up. Because some of y'all are lost and should not speak because your ideas are dangerously idiotic. But there are many out there who look to people who are reasonable and informed and well-read to have a dialogue and a national discussion that could make some improvement in the country. So I told you I was going to get personal, and it's a roundabout way. It is what it is. It just is what it is. You guys make people with sense want to pack up and go home. But we're going to keep driving education, information, and we'll see if we can have some fun and some good times in the meantime. So two things. We got to take a break and we'll be right back. Two things is the storm's still coming. It's a problem. Possibly a problem for New Providence now as well. Not near the problem that looks to be for Abaco and Grand Bahama. But the storm's coming. We'll talk about developments. And also the government, which, I'll be real with you, Latrell and Clint are my boys, but I know they didn't do this because this is they're not this clever. So the government last night after the hurricane, you got to have some serious steel in your veins to do this type of thing. So after the NEMA press conference, the whole nation's on alert for the government, for the storm. The government drops this thing that just says that Electra, who's going to buy the Grand Lucayan for $100 million? They're no longer in negotiations with Electra, and they're talking to somebody else? I know something about this, but we'll maybe talk about it. But it's such a sharp public relations move to go, because that's all anyone would be talking about if the storm wasn't coming. So I congratulate their public relations team, but I'm not happy that the deal is on such shaky ground now. We'll talk about it because I want Grand Bahama to win. I want Grand Bahama to do well. I want y'all to be safe from the storm. I want you guys to have good drinking water. I want you guys to have hotels and have jobs and have a nice shiny new airport. I want y'all to win, right? And I want Brave Davis to win. I want them to sell the Grand Lucayan. I want all the good things for you guys, all of them, all right? And we'll talk about it. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about the storm. Stay tuned.
The Project Execution Unit of the Ministry of Finance hereby advises that due to inclement weather, the e-mobility workshop scheduled for Tuesday, November 8th, 2022 has been rescheduled to Thursday, November 10th, 2022 at 2 p.m. and the workshop on bidding documents for solar energy projects and the government procurement portal scheduled for Wednesday, November 9th, 2022, will now be held on Friday, November 11th, 2022 at 10 a.m. The new dates are all subject to the all clear from the Department of Meteorology.
I used to think of the bank as my personal ATM machine. If I wanted a new car, new furniture, a weekend trip to Miami, no problem. Just max out the credit card or top up my loan. I was a big baller until I realized that 75% of my salary was going to pay back all those loans. Fidelity's personal financial coaching was the best solution. Fidelity gave me a plan with a debt consolidation loan that has a built-in savings that pays 5% interest. I now only have one low monthly payment, plus money in my pocket. Give Fidelity Bank a call at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit any of Fidelity's locations or visit a website at fidelitygroup.com.
At At Ron's Electric Motors, they repair and rewind all major brands of electric motors, including water pumps, generators, and generators back end, welding machines, electric lifts, air compressors, battery chargers, and more. They're equipped to handle up to 850 kilowatts and rewind up to 450 horsepower motors. They're conveniently located on the corner of Wolf and Clarence Roads and are open weekdays 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Saturdays till noon. They offer 24 hours emergency assistance. You can reach them at 242-356-0249.
If you were exposed to COVID-19, have symptoms, or traveled recently, get tested so that you can have peace of mind about your status. Just visit one of our convenient locations on New Providence at the University of the Bahamas or Golden Gates Plaza, weekdays 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. and Saturdays 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. On Eleuthera at the Three Island Dock, Mondays through Thursdays, 8 a.m. to 6 p.m., Fridays and Saturdays, 8 a.m. to 7 p.m., and Sundays, 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. On Exuma at the Regatta Park, weekdays, 9 a.m. to 3 p.m., Saturdays, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., and Sundays, 1 p.m. to 6 p.m. On Abaco at Maxwell Food Store, Mondays through Saturdays, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. The COVID-19 test results will be ready in 15 minutes, and the tests are free.
This message is brought to you by PAHO WHO and the Ministry of Health and Wellness.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
We know how important collecting your money can be to the success of your business. Start your relationship with Fidelity today so that we can show you the many options available to you with our merchant services. From click and pay options online to merchant terminals and e-commerce options, we're here to help your business succeed. For more details, speak to one of our business development officers at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit our website at fidelitygroup.com or visit any of our branches.
You do coffee your way.
Double shot, decaf, cappuccino.
Light roast, Colombian, no milk.
You do vacations your way.
Hiking boots, tent, mountains.
Five-star hotels and theater.
And now you can do insurance your way.
Online.
Email.
Chat.
WhatsApp.
Or in branch. For home, car, travel, boat, or business insurance, do it anyway with NUA Insurance agents and brokers. Visit NUAinsurance.com, call, or stop by a branch today.
Burger King wants you to ride into the holidays in style with a brand new 2022 BYD Han all-electric sedan from Easy Car Sales. It's as easy as 1, 2, 3. Just upgrade your favorite combo for one ticket or double your chances with the King Combo or triple your chance to win with the purchase of a BK family deal. It's electric at Burger King this holiday where you get the chance to win a 2022 BYD Han EV sedan when you upgrade your combo at Burger King Nassau, where taste is king.
Okay, class, let's begin today's history lesson. Ancient civilization used to visit stadiums to watch musicians perform. It was called a live concert.
Teacher, what year was that?
Researchers believe it was around 2019. Normal life feels like a long time ago. As things return to normal, remember, it is essential to be fully immunized against all vaccine-preventable diseases like COVID-19, rubella, polio, hepatitis, mumps, and influenza. This message is brought to you by PAHO WHO, the Ministry of Health and Wellness, the Caribbean Development Bank, the Government of Canada, and the United States of America.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the revolution. We only got a few minutes till we got to go to the news, so let's just go through some of your texts. I had to get all that off my chest. I had to. All right. All right. I just turned my car around and went back home. This is one when the FNM was in DeWitt. Was saying the government needs to step up
and he's telling people to depend on government. Mr. DeWitt is so biased.
Okay.
Says schools closed at 12 equals traffic. Something. It's something. It's mad traffic out there. Says, yes, Juan, that boat needs to be moved forthwith. It's an eyesore. So I agree. Move the boat, and Village Road is overrun with taxpayers' money with no disclosure. Says, I'm in Harmony Hill. They dug a 10-foot trench on my front lawn and left it. Dang. I'm so sorry. Says, hello, Mr. McCartney. It's dug up again all the way down to the traffic light to Shirley Street. I work at Kalina. It is crazy, but we have to take it in stride. They did have signage and someone directing the traffic, but not for the past week or so. They're digging it up again so they don't have to lay those pipes in the next 3 years. Yeah, I heard him say that. And I do, with public works, I try to have some patience. But it's frustrating, man. Village Road has been a frustrating experience. I won't lie. Says, thank you, Juan. It is clear they know nothing of what they're doing. How much time are they going to dig that road up? I, too, have to make it to QC, and now I'm totally disgusted. Says, good for you, Juan. When we complained about the new Blake Road roundabout, you didn't care. Now you're feeling our suffering on Village Road. They reworked Blake Road roundabout for months. I still don't think it's finished. I don't understand why that roundabout is there. I'll be honest with you. Says, please ask these trailerhead and dump truck drivers to slow down on our streets. These are not expressways. They're driving at high speeds with an undetermined amount of load. Yeah, I saw that 18-wheeler turnover today, man. I'm amazed nobody got hurt. Says, Juan, don't quit, bro. We need and depend on you. If it wasn't for you, many of us would be in the dark. Don't let the 1% of naysayers or the crazies cause you to leave the 99% of us the intelligent. Yeah, and that's true, and thank you for that. Says, so one person says something that seems off the wall and you're going to give up? No, I've learned that people will be themselves, and so we should not let their actions make us feel embarrassed or uncomfortable.
True, very true.
Says, damn, Juan, if Seattle ever takes stats on the amount of Bahamians waiting for a handout from government, it'd shock you. It's pathetic, my friend. Says, Juan, whether you like it or not, it's a new day. The PLP running the ship, and Alfred is doing a great job. It says, the problem isn't the airwaves. The issue is journalists and talk show hosts are severely lacking, no understanding of nuances, more interested in being celebrities. Days of Ed Bethel and Kelsey Johnson, true masters of their craft, are over. Shout out to Ed. It says, Clint and Latre are not that sharp, but Ian Poitier is. Yeah, maybe. But they're all in Egypt. LOL, never waste a good distraction. Rough spot for Lucaya. The FNM had their headlines for deals signed and the PLP had theirs, yet since talks in 2018, the Wahib's still unsold and sitting. Correct. Minister have had it for like 2 years. Says, what I find very arrogant in talk shows is that we callers often have no respect for listeners and have to repeat hackneyed phrases and tout stale tunnel vision proposals. All right, we got news that we'll talk about.
I want to talk about this ground look kind.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day. We'll be right back.
Good afternoon, Bahamas. Welcome back to the revolution here on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. My name is Juan McCartney. So good to have you with us. All right, I'm going to get back to your text in a moment, but I want to talk about this Grand Lucayan thing. So anyway, I never thought they should have bought the Grand Lucayan. There are, you know, businesses who maybe believe that has made a difference in their viability. I don't know if I believe that argument, but certainly I've heard some of the folk in Grand Bahama say that. I believe it could have been went about it a different way, but we didn't. We blew a ton of money on it, and now we got to figure out how to get it off of the government's balance sheet. All right. So remember, Minnis and those had Royal Caribbean and ITM. They said that they were going to buy it. So the Minnis and those had, you know, big celebration. And this is the problem, too. You know, you're so eager to give good news. You're so eager for political mileage and popularity that sometimes you often put the cart, well, often you would put the cart before the horse. So I didn't buy the big celebration from Minnis those. And then it, after 2 years, nothing happened. And we found out it was a horrendously transformed into a horrendously bad deal. That the government appeared prepared to get into, and the Davis administration canceled that deal, and then came and said that they had a buyer for the hotel for $100 million, which I found suspect because the hotel ain't worth $100 million, but whatever. Buyer for the hotel, all the property for $100 million, and they were going to invest $300 million in it. And it's a great that was great news, right? It's great news. You want to have a great outcome for Grand Bahama because Grand Bahama needs it. Grand Bahama deserves it. Grand Bahama is where I'm going to. Do they have grown men on Grand Bahama who are perfectly healthy and capable and have two hands who beg other men for handouts outside of stores and on the side of the street? Is that a thing in Grand Bahama? Just here, right? Just here. I want to talk about that one day, about how a capable, healthy man, how I feel about a capable, healthy man asking another man for a dollar. I want to talk about that one day. But if I talk about it right now, there really will be no more show. I want to tell you what I feel about that. A grown man asking another man for handouts. So that's not a thing on Grand Bahama, right? Okay, so someone from Grand Bahama, tell me, is that a thing? Because it's a thing here, and I'm sick of it, and so I'm leaving. I'm going to Grand Bahama when their economy picks back up. All right, that's where I'm moving, to get away from these feckless wastemen who ask other men and women for money, probably just to go get drunk. I don't want to be here anymore. I want to go to Grand Bahama. I want to see how Eleuther is shaping up. So I'm going to go there. So I want Grand Bahama to win, right? I can still do the show from Grand Bahama. It's fine. Well, you come with me. We'll build a station. We'll do... I want Grand Bahama to win. Says, getting my house ready for the storm, and as soon as you said I'm quitting the show, my broom broke. And just like that, I lost my ability to can. First Nahaja, now this. Anyway, so Grand Bahama needs to win, and I want the Grand Lucayan to succeed. Because, again, I want to leave here because there's something broken about here that men have started asking other men for money. I'm going to do a show about that one day. Maybe we'll do it on YouTube. Right? When my name's no longer on the masthead of the Nassau Guardian, I'm going to do a show about this and explain my feelings about these people who say they're men. So Grand Lucayan is not going to be bought by Electra. And now they say they're in talks with another party. So we'll read the statement. But first, we got a phone call. Let's talk. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Yes, a pleasant good afternoon to you, Brother Warren. I hope you're doing well.
Great. I'm good.
Well, I did not hear the conversation that was going on that you mentioned with Love. On Love 97, right? But would you agree with me that the government has wasted hundreds of millions of dollars?
Yeah, sure, certainly.
Right? I could think of $100 million right now. We spent probably over $60 million on those two buildings right there on JFK. We spent another $10 million on the people from who came here over 20 years ago. They came from Malaysia. To say we're going to start this e-commerce. We never got nothing from that. We just spent another $30 million on that stadium. Mm-hmm. And I think with the guy, like I said, I didn't hear the conversation, was that if the government had a priority, a plan, and we know that we're in a hurricane zone and that these things, there's a possibility that these things can come and hit us every year, then they would have made a priority to make sure that there are adequate places for people to shelter in.
I see. So let's do this exercise then. The government, you say, has wasted hundreds of millions of dollars. No problem. All right. So let's do this exercise. How much do you think it's going to cost to build enough structures that are elevated enough and sturdy enough to withstand a Category 5 hurricane on every populated island of the Bahamas so that everyone can go to the hurricane shelter to be safe?
I mean, I don't think everyone...
But do you think that's a reasonable investment
saying,
of our money?
I don't think that's...
When the hurricanes don't hit every island every year and they don't cause massive destruction every year?
But I'm saying it's better to have it. I don't, like they say...
It's better... Okay.
To have it and don't need it than to need it and don't have it.
It's
it
better
doesn't
to
have to be. It doesn't have to be for everyone because everyone.
Who's it for?
Everyone may not be in the same kind
he
of
He said
position.
That they should have
it
shelters
for
on
the
every
most,
island for everyone.
No, but I said that it'll be for the most vulnerable.
We have shelters
people,
now for
people,
the most vulnerable people.
Yeah, but some people are able to leave the island. Some people may have other resources that they don't need a hurricane shelter.
We have hurricane shelters now. Why should the government go build more? The government has built schools to educate our children that can serve as hurricane shelters. Why would we go and build separate hurricane shelters? The first elected official who says that, I'm going to flip out on, right? It makes it's such a poor investment. It makes absolutely no sense. If anyone sits down and thinks these things through, you gotta understand that that's not how it works. That's not where I want the government to invest money. It says, good day, be careful with that statement. You ain't past nothing until you die. I ain't past nothing until I die. I ain't past bagging another man outside a store when I'm perfectly capable and healthy. You speak that on you, son. You'll never see me do that. I'll crawl on my knees and sweep the side of the street first. Ever. You got to have some capability as a man. My father's Henry Wilfred McCartney, brother. Went, had a master's degree in economics. Was an executive at a bank. Had successful businesses. Lost it all. My father, and I'm going to tell you what cloth I'm cut from, son. And I say this with no cap. Ain't no shame in my game. My father drove an ice cream bus. My father had a master's degree in economics, lost everything, right? Except his house. My father drove an ice cream bus through some of the poorest areas of New Providence so that he could continue to send us some money in college. We had to work too in college to continue to sell us some money in college. What I watched my father go through and still be a man and stand up, had a stroke because he worked so hard, went and taught to BTVI after that. He was a millionaire, lost it all. If, go bury me, right? If you see me begging another man when I'm capable of working to take care of me outside of a store, go bury me. All right? And when you get to heaven, don't tell my father. Ain't past nothing. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Also, I help pay for your education.
You do what?
I help pay for your education.
How?
Man, listen up. You used to hit school every weekend, boy.
Oh, you bought it. Yeah.
Every weekend,
okay.
You used to hit school, boy.
All right. This was after he lost the ice cream parlor. He drove a bus selling ice cream. Like, y'all look down on these people. That's why I don't trip, you know. And I used to ride with him. That's how I learned to drive a stick shift.
Lord. Anyway, my comment is this. You know, we in this situation, right, where persons feel that they are entitled to have their hand out. Okay? Now, for how many centuries we've been in this hurricane zone, right?
Mm-hmm.
It should be in a part of the culture by now that all buildings are constructed with a certain structural, you know, thing. You know, now, when people come on your station, start talking about what should be done for the poor people,
mm-hmm.
I see it as an exercise in poverty pimping.
Oh.
You know, we are in a place where, you know, hey, I believe personally, the humans are going to be held responsible for what we allow to happen in these Isles of June, you know, because we can go over the world and punch above our weight any place we find ourselves and refuse to punch above our weight in our own country.
You know? Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, buddy. Anyway, man.
Well, thanks for the patronage. Thanks for buying the ice cream. Yeah. All right. Someone says, Juan, that's amazing. Yeah, my father was a hardcore G, man. That's why you ain't gonna see me. When these guys go, oh, woe is me, man, my father could have sat there and go, I'm gonna go get drunk. I'm gonna go get high. He had responsibilities, and he was willing to do what he had to do to meet those responsibilities, as am I. I will scrub toilets before I ask another man outside of a store for a dollar for something to drink. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution. That's why they keep telling me that, oh, you look down on people. I know what it is to have nothing, to have to struggle out here. Hey, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. How you doing, man?
I'm good. How are you?
Wonderful. I'm not sure I understood what I heard correctly. Did you say that the Bahamas, we don't need hurricane shelters?
We don't need the government to finance the construction of hurricane shelters on every island that can fit the any significant amount of the population. Because...
Mm-hmm. Sorry, go ahead. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Because the government has already done so in terms of they have buildings that are multi-purpose in nature. So, for instance, that would be like me saying I'm going to go buy a backhoe because I will someday maybe need to clear down a yard. You see what I'm saying? It's not something that we would use for that sole purpose. So what we do is we take another structure. And when a hurricane comes, that structure can be converted into a shelter, which is what they do all over the world.
Do you think that new properties have the capacity to accommodate persons in the case of a hurricane?
Enough shelters? No, I don't. No, I don't. No.
Yeah. That's why I think it's good that the government consider building a suitable hurricane shelter, especially for new properties. They dread what will happen if a storm hits in Providence. There's absolutely nowhere to go. No way at all to go.
But a couple of things. So our building code is what is our protection from most hurricanes. So our buildings are built up to a very high standard. Most of them can, with the roof can't, but most of the buildings can. withstand hurricanes. We put hurricane clips on the rafters. We tie our roofs in. We have concrete structures that are 8-inch block a lot of times. So the building code is what is usually protecting your home. We also have schools. We have churches built to a particular building code that can be used as shelters. So to suggest to me that we should, because a hurricane is coming now, when we haven't had a serious hurricane in 3 years, we should go invest what would possibly be billions of dollars into building stuff, just in case. I don't agree with that.
Well, one question. Where in NASA do you think the government would recommend places to go now if a hurricane was to hit New Providence today? Mm-hmm. Where would you recommend government send the folks for shelter?
Well, there's a list that the government has provided.
Can you tell me one that's satisfactory to you?
That the entire population of Nassau could go to?
Absolutely, that's impossible.
It's not even close to possible.
Yeah, it's give me a reasonable place that you would recommend government send the folks if a hurricane was a threat to your property.
In your house?
In your house?
Yeah, in your house. You stay in your home. That's why we have hurricane impact windows. That's why we build, we elevate the foundation. Now, if you're in a low-lying area, you might have a problem. That's why we have inspectors and building codes that are what they are today.
One last question. You remember, I don't know if you heard what happened to Grand Bahama when they had the hurricane.
Mm-hmm.
But the places that they had for shelter, do you hear what happened to them?
Mm-hmm.
Get evacuate folks from there?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, there's a point at which, my friend, nowhere is going to be safe if the storm's bad enough. You know what I mean? And the government can't dictate an act of God. So if you're talking about 20-foot storm surges like they were in Dorian, all right, you really can't predict that we're going to build enough shelters high enough, strong enough to withstand that and hold people. This is one, if everyone in this country had a father even half as good as yours, we'd have very few problems. The fact that we have 70% of kids growing up with no father at all speaks to our failure as a country. My father was a hardcore G, all right? And he wasn't a perfect man, but he was a great father. Okay? We're gonna take a break and we'll be right back.
Forcing you to use technology to bank the way they want you to? Your convenience is important. So no matter what your banking needs, Commonwealth Bank's friendly staff are always available in branch for that personal one-on-one service. But when you choose technology, our online and mobile banking app offers you state-of-the-art functionality. The choice is yours. Commonwealth Bank. Bank the way you want.
If you were exposed to COVID-19, have symptoms, or traveled recently, get tested so that you can have peace of mind about your status. Just visit one of our convenient locations on New Providence at the University of the Bahamas or Golden Gates Plaza, weekdays 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. and Saturdays 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. On Eleuthera at the Three Island Dock,
Mondays through Thursdays, 8 a.m. to 6 p.m., Fridays and Saturdays, 8 a.m. to 7 p.m., and Sundays, 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. On Exuma at the Regatta Park, weekdays, 9 a.m. to 3 p.m., Saturdays, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., and Sundays, 1 p.m. to 6 p.m. On Abaco at Maxwell Food Store, Mondays through Saturdays, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. The COVID-19 test results will be ready in 15 minutes, and the tests are free.
This message is brought to you by PAHO WHO and the Ministry of Health and Wellness.
What if I told you that the future is here? That is not some magical door we walk through, but a place we create. It's home. The place where you can download a two-hour movie in seconds and stay connected to loved ones even when traveling far from home. Where internet moves at lightning speeds, smoother and more reliable than anything you've ever seen. This future-proof technology can take you to worlds that you can only imagine. The future is here. The future is home. The future is Alive Fiber.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Afternoon. Welcome back to the Revolution here on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. My name is Juan McCartney. So good to have you with us. We're talking about the hurricane, and I really don't believe I can have a serious conversation about the government needing to build hurricane shelters on every island for all the people. It's the notion is absurd to me. We got a phone call? Sure. And then we'll do some more text messages. We ain't even getting to the Grand Lucayan yet, but we will. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Hey, how you doing, Juan? I hope all is well.
All is great, yes.
Good stuff. Listen, I'm with you on everything you're talking about today, my son.
Thank you.
You know, the hurricane shelters, no, the government can't be in a position to be putting up hurricane shelters on every island. That's cost prohibitive, number one.
Absolutely.
You know, I even have difficulties, unfortunately, it's really unfortunate when people's homes get destroyed in hurricanes. Mm-hmm. I understand that's an act of nature, but that's what insurance is for. Now, if we can't afford insurance, that's another thing, but To expect governments to rebuild everyone's homes when they go under from hurricane, I think that's also cost prohibitive to government.
Yeah,
that's
absolutely
not what government's supposed to be functioning for.
No.
Okay? So that means then that you and I don't need, if those of us don't need to pay insurance if we can't. You know, it's a risk that we take. It's a chance that we take in hurricanes. But for a government to go out and try to build hurricane shelters that are just going to be used on the chance that a hurricane, that a storm comes, man, we don't have that kind of money. I don't want to be tapped for that.
It's not a worthwhile investment because, and watch this, the government, now I don't agree 100% with this, the government doesn't even insure its own buildings.
So there you go. Okay.
Because you make a calculation that it's, for me to spend tens of millions of dollars a year to insure all these buildings just in case a hurricane comes and destroys it is cost prohibitive. If the hurricane comes and destroys my government building, I'll just go build it back.
That's right.
I could use the money elsewhere.
I agree. And then the money needs to be used elsewhere, you know?
Right.
And I also wanted to comment on the thing about the people, the men standing outside the stores begging.
Oh, yeah.
No, they ain't getting my money. You know, they're not, you know. I respect the guys that are out there, at least with their bucket and rag in their hand, trying to wash your car to make with $10.
Bro, let me tell you something. If you come to me and you tell me, look, man, hey, I on a job. Someone's telling me a story. Look, I got a job, man. My wrench just break. please, lend me a couple of dollars. I could go in the hardware store and get the wrench, and I can go fix this thing. I'll work with you.
There you go.
But not you just sitting around while someone take care of you, and it ain't gonna happen.
No, I mean, there's a colorful character that hangs out at the Vernon Road, Village Road, Soldier Road area, right? In front of Burger King there, right?
Mm-hmm.
Drinking, I mean, people post his antics on social media all the time.
Uh-huh.
And he's always hitting you up for money. I said to him, I said, go get a job.
Right.
I'm not here to support your lifestyle, buddy. I got a 5-year-old I got to support. I can't support your lifestyle. But anyway, listen,
correct,
man, you keep doing what you're doing. I enjoy your show. You know, you're speaking a lot of facts, you know. And your dad sounded like an awesome individual.
Absolutely,
you know, was. Yeah, and I know him, so yes, he was. Okay.
Thanks a million. All right, take care. You could be down bad, you know. Ain't no shame in that, right? You could be down bad, but if you able, you need to pick yourself up and find something to do. I had a guy come and I don't know if they locked these people up. The fella sell coconut water on the side of the road. If a young man could get up and say, I can go bark coconuts and go on the side of the road and sell coconut water, all right, then ain't no 40-year-old or 50-year-old man should be standing outside a liquor store or a convenience store hitting up other men and women for change, right? The coconut guy was... This is after my mom died, so no one was in my mom's house. She had a huge coconut tree. And I was there one day with my aunt, and the guy stopped, and he was like, man, I keep meaning to ask who live here so I could get the coconut. And I go, well, you know, my mother died, and no one lives here right now. I just have the alarm on and the gates locked and everything like this. And he was like, look, I really want to get these coconuts out there. There were dozens of coconuts. I really want to get these coconuts, man. I'm just trying to make my way. You know what I mean? If you could help me out, yeah, I'll give you a couple dollars after I sell the coconuts. I said, you could have all the coconuts, bro. And this guy went and got his friend in this little like hatchback, like Swift or one of them thing, all beat up. And homeboy put the seat down and put all them coconuts in there. I can work with you if you willing to work. If you ain't trying to work, if you ain't trying to do nothing, I don't want to hear the story. It says, correct, we've become a society of beggars. I don't support it. No shame in their game. Correct? It says, if the government builds shelters all over the Bahamas, then what will happen for 52 weeks out of the year? Won't they develop mold being dormant? That's exactly what's going to happen. The structures are going to dilapidate, and we don't need them. Before I go build you a shelter, I wouldn't build no shelter on none of the sparsely populated, like, southern islands. I wouldn't build any shelter. I'll go get you and bring you out of the harm's way rather than go through all that. Logistically, for me to go there, like, they tell me, what is any building, the $11 million school on Ragged Island? But that'll serve as a hurricane shelter. That I could see as an investment. You know what I mean? So it'll school the children, serve as a community center, also serve as a hurricane shelter, no problem. But before I build a hurricane shelter all over, you want me to go build an $11 million hurricane shelter on 12 different islands? I'm not doing it. I will go get you. I will send a jet and go get you. All right? Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Hey, Juan McCartney.
Hey, how's it going?
Radio man. Very interesting conversation. As far as the hurricane shelters are concerned, I agree with you wholeheartedly that most of our homes, if not all of our homes, should be hurricane resistant up to a certain level, whether it's a Cat 3 or 4. And as you can see, we just recently had a Cat 5, so I expect even the level of our homes should even increase, even a Cat 7, if that's possible, you know?
Yeah,
so we already have our structures in place. Now, as far as shelters are concerned, I could see the government probably investing into a shelter, let's say, like how Mykal is situated. You're tackling four or five islands and the key up in that region where persons do not have to come to Nassau or Grand Bahama. They could just shelter on one of the islands, find the highest point on the island, build a shelter there, that because those are sparsely populated islands. I think a shelter that is adequate to perhaps handle that amount of persons would be advantageous for the government to make that kind of investment. So that is only just one example of using our money wisely.
Now, not saying the government shouldn't have a strategy and isn't responsible for public safety and making sure, you know what I'm saying? And making sure people are as safe as possible, you know what I mean?
Right.
But
right.
I don't support just the notion
not,
that
not
they
just
get
on
go,
any,
you know
not,
what I mean?
Not, yes, not just on all of the islands. No, I don't see that as being feasible.
No.
But putting a structure probably in a cluster or a group of islands whereas you know, persons could catch a little boat or something.
Well, watch this, right, Jeff? Watch this. So you got to be strategic now.
Yeah.
I can say this. What I'm going to do is I can have a hub, right? So you saw what they did when Fiona was coming. They took the people from Meguana, Bronte, Zuma. So I'm more about that type action. So I could bring them somewhere, and there's shelter there for them, and they're straight.
Right.
You see?
No, that's what I'm saying. Something strategic where it could not just handle one island, but perhaps a cluster of islands. You know, people go there, and then it's easier for them to migrate back to their islands at the end of the storm or while the storm is leaving. So that's something advantageous. But I think it's about time we began to really think out the box. Let's get our minds together and really start a plan for the future Bahamas is going to really look like. You know,
absolutely.
That's
I'm
my
you.
Contribution. Thanks a lot for taking my call.
Thanks, Jeff. I'm with you. Let me just read the Grand Lucayan thing because we'll have more time to talk about it. And this is instructive, right? Nothing's going to change about the way politicians like to be seen as being on their game and successful and trying to maintain and increase popularity. That's not going to change. I don't expect it, but you could move better, right? And so this will teach you something. All right, so Lucayan Renewal Holdings Limited, November 7th, for immediate release, Grand Lucayan Resort, update. Excuse me. Freeport, Grand Bahama, the board of Lucayan Renewal Holdings Limited continues to work towards successfully closing the sale of the Grand Lucayan Resort to secure the best outcome for Grand Bahama and the Bahamian people. All applicants for the purchase of the Grand Lucayan were vetted by Colliers International, who facilitated the sale process on behalf of Lucayan Renewal. Electra America Hospitality was chosen overall for its vision and experience and evidence of financial backing. Okay. Let's take a moment here, because these words are no doubt chosen very carefully, because I understand government and I understand corporate interest. Electra America Hospitality, vetted by Colliers International, who facilitated the sale process on behalf of Lucayan Renewal Holdings. So Colliers International is the real estate agent. Okay? Let's slow down. When you are selling a property or purchasing a property, the first thing you do is establish the value of the property. Okay? I'm selling my house. I want to understand how much it is worth. So I'm going to have someone come in and appraise the home. I'm then going to have someone, I mean, that same person maybe will look around and see what homes similar to yours have sold for recently and kind of establish a market value for the home, the property, all right? So before Colliers could vet Lucayan Renewal Holdings, it needed to establish what are we looking for to get this property? So the financial aspect has to be established. So the first question we need to ask ourselves is, property-wise, as is, what is the Grand Lucayan worth? Now, Michael Scott, who was the previous chair of Lucayan Renewal Holdings, has said that it's worth about $50 million, okay? It's a huge property. It's worth about, it's like 1,000 acres. It's worth $50 million. So we're starting off, it's worth $50 million, all right? So let's keep that in our mind. So I need at least $50 million for my property. Now, I'd spend $150, but I at least I need 50. Because I done pay 60 something, just up straight up. Cash, right? Electra America Hospitality Limited, pardon me, was chosen overall for its vision and experience and evidence of financial backing. Okay, great. Vision. What do I want to do with this property? Because if I'm buying this property, I'm buying it because I want to make money. I don't much want to buy it because I like Grand Bahama and I love the people and all yada, yada, yada. That's nice and cute. But at the end of the day, I try to make money. It ain't going to make sense. I try to get a return on my investment for my shareholders, partners, etc. Right? So vision, which they had expressed, and we won't get into right now because we don't have time. Experience and evidence of financial backing. So those are the three criteria you're looking for. A vision for what you want to do with the Grand Lucayan. Experience, detailing that you've been successful in the hospitality space before. And that you have the money. So the vision seemed fine. The experience seemed fine. Our issue is the money. So something happened to the money that Colliers saw between March and now. Well, whenever they were figuring out they ain't got the money. We'll explain that. We'll take a break and we'll talk more about it. Stay tuned.
Breakfast just got better at Wendy's. Introducing the Breakfast Biggie Bag. Enjoy a double sausage muffin with two square sausage patties, a freshly cracked egg, and cheese served on a toasted English muffin, a medium waffle fries, and an orange juice for only $5.25, fat inclusive. Add an apple pie for just $1 more.
Say what?
At Wendy's, better breakfast is all day. Offers valid in participating locations. Wendy's, different inside and out.
You do coffee your way.
Double shot, decaf, cappuccino.
Light roast, Colombian, no milk.
You do vacations your way.
Hiking boots, tent, mountains.
Five-star hotels and theater.
And now you can do insurance your way.
Online.
Email.
Chat.
WhatsApp.
Or in branch. For home, car, travel, boat, or business insurance, do it anyway with NUA Insurance agents and brokers. Visit NUAinsurance.com, call, or stop by a branch today.
I used to think of the bank as my personal ATM machine. If I wanted a new car, new furniture, a weekend trip to Miami, no problem. Just max out the credit card or top up my loan. I was a big baller until I realized that 75% of my salary was going to pay back all those loans. Fidelity's personal financial coaching was the best solution. Fidelity gave me a plan with a debt consolidation loan that has a built-in savings that pays 5% interest. I now only have one low monthly payment, plus money in my pocket. Give Fidelity Bank a call at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit any of Fidelity's locations or visit a website at fidelitygroup.com.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Good afternoon, welcome back to The Revolution. We are not going to be able to get through all this stuff with Grand Lucayan, and I'll deal with it in greater detail tomorrow, unless the storm, something really pops off with the storm. Okay, so Electra America Hospitality Limited was chosen overall for its vision, experience, evidence of financial backing. This is the statement from Lucayan Renewal, released last night. Okay, so Colliers vetted Electra, and the government says that there was evidence of financial backing. All right. Now, I know some inside stuff. We're going to talk about it when we get maybe tomorrow. So Electra had the money. The government saw the money. Now, let me show you something. If I saw the money, I can tell you, player, when we sign this MOU, and maybe Lang could tell me if that this could fly or not. When we sign this MOU, The money you say you want to buy this hotel with, not the 300 you want to vet. The money you say, the 100 million you saying you buying the hotel with, I gonna need you to put that in the escrow account. And we gonna hold that there until the deal close, just so the money don't go nowhere, right? Because I see the money at one point in time, don't mean the money could be there 6 months later. All right? So they saw the money. Okay, so what happened? It says Electra America Hospitality Limited has advised that shifting global capital markets and related inflationary pressures resulted in higher construction costs and costlier access to credit. Accordingly, the company had difficulty securing development financing at terms that would allow it to fully execute the vision outlined in its business plan. Yeah, this is real carefully worded. Okay. Electra advised shifting global capital markets, related inflationary pressures resulted in higher construction costs and costly access to credit. Okay. All those things are actual things. So let me explain this to you. I don't know where Electra is getting the money from, but I would believe it would be America. Donald Trump, all right, and let me see if I can explain this differently. The United States Congress approved measures to inject at least $1 trillion into the U.S. economy by sending people money and also having what's called PPP loans, right? So the U.S. government, Trump did some of it, Biden did some of it, right? Biden wanted to do much more of it, and this is why everybody told him, don't do it. They flooded America with money. America's the world's largest economy. Two-thirds of America's economy is just based on consumer spending in America, all right? Flooded the market with money. Coming out of the COVID-19 pandemic, factories have shuttered. A lot of truckers had retired. Truckers had died, right? People hadn't been back to work for a while. Now people are sitting around with a bunch of money, and the supply of goods is constrained. So I have a bunch of money, and the supply is limited. What happens? Prices shoot up, right? So we get inflation, all right? So they said inflationary pressures. So in order to cool inflation, the U.S. Federal Reserve, which one day, although they'll probably Kanye me if I get too deep into it, one day we're going to read from a book called The Creature of Jekyll Island, and we'll talk about the Federal Reserve. They may come get a black bag and place it over my head. We'll see how far we get. Anyway, the Federal Reserve, which is not owned by the United States government, increased interest rates on borrowing to make it costlier to access money because they want inflation to come down, right? They want people to not have so much easy access to money because, and economists will tell you, this is how we bring down inflation. We raise it. It's not working fast enough. So what you would have borrowed at 6% interest before, now may hit, I forgot exactly the rate at which the Fed has raised it. They've done successive interest rate hikes. What would cost you 6% before might cost you 10% now. And then the logistics of paying that back and how are we actually able to get this money, access this money, and we're looking at our shareholders, does this investment make sense because this money's so costly, all right? So it is true that access to credit became costlier. It is true that global capital markets shifted, particularly with oil and wheat and fertilizer. And it is also true that there were inflationary pressures. And it is also true that there were higher construction costs. So I can buy that Electra's having problems getting access to this money. It says the company had difficulty securing development financing at terms that would allow it to fully execute the vision outlined in its business plan. Difficulty securing development financing that would allow it to fully execute the vision. Okay. So Electra, just stick a pin in this. We won't have time to go through it all today. So Electra, so the government saw the money Electra had in March, right? So they saw the 400, I assume they saw $400 million. I know some stuff, but we'll talk about it tomorrow maybe. They saw the money in March. Now, why from March to, let's say, this fall, what happened to that money? Because you don't no longer see the money. Electra's saying, we have to borrow the money, and we can't borrow at rates that make sense for us to make this investment to execute the full, we're going to spend $300 million, so they claim anyway. So Electra's broke, right? In terms of being able to purchase this resort. I mean, they still have lots of assets, but Electra don't have the cash or the capacity to borrow enough money to do what it said it was going to do. So our deal is done, right? I don't blame you, government. Our deal is done. Now, you did a lot of clout chasing, which we'll talk about. Says, given this, the closing deadline of November 15, 2022 is not possible in negotiations with Electra America, Octoly Limited have come to an end. I'll say this. I give Chester Cooper and Ginger Moxie and the government marks off for the celebratory nature of this announcement and, you know, just the rubbing it in Minister's face that they took 2 years. But I give them marks off for that. But I'll say this. And he said this today. All right. Let's quit kikiing and yapping and trapping, right? And let's move on. Because the government was fooling around with RCL for 2 years. Oh, the deal closed, the deal this, the deal that, the deal that, the deal ain't nothing. So I could respect that you say, let's kill it. I can, honestly. All right. I don't all this junkanoo rush out y'all was doing before, chasing clout don't make no sense. I'm hoping you don't do that now. So you see the circumspect nature now, right? So here's what they say. The board is currently in active discussions with a well-capitalized entity that has expressed interest in acquiring the Grand Lucayan Resort. Now, I know for a fact that's true. I know some things. Like I said, I'll tell you some of it tomorrow. I can tell you some, I can keep some. All right? The entity has a vision for the property and a track record of having recently completed notable transactions in the hospitality space. Now, I know that that second part is true. This company does have a track record of notable transactions in the hospitality space, and I know this company does have the money. The issue is, and we're running out of time, the issue is the company doesn't want to buy this property if there's not going to be a functional airport with pre-clearance for American tourists. And so this, I'll tell you about the company tomorrow. This company has the money. This company is interested in Grand Lucayan. But ain't nobody buying that hotel if you ain't going to commit to putting a new airport there. You need a new airport because I need U.S. pre-clearance. Period. Right? If I'm trying to do the kind of numbers I'm trying to do, get the flights in and all this stuff like that, to fill this hotel, to make money, I need the pre-clearance, bro. I mean, you could still have a successful thing without pre-clearance, okay? But I can need to get the pre-clearance back to Grand Bahama, all right? And you got to build me an airport. So that's where I understand this is at the time. So I do understand that there is somebody there, but the airport is the sticking point. We'll talk more about it tomorrow. It says they were not fooling around for 2 years. Pandemic happened. What do you mean? You know. Pandemic did happen. But that don't mean you got to continue going with the deal, right? So the RCI had the money, apparently, and then they came back and go, well, we ain't got no money, bro. Cruise ships ain't been sailing, it ain't like that. You know, business transactions are complex, yada, yada, yada. Why don't you give us a mortgage and we'll pay you back for the property? No. No. Okay? It's going to be no. I'm not in the business of borrowing money from international capital markets to go lend private commercial interest money to purchase my property that I had to go borrow money to go get. It ain't going to work. It's a no. Elektra, as I understand it, we're running out of time here, they were on that same run. When their money dried up, they wanted the government to give them a loan to buy the property. That's the word on the street. Okay? And it's no. Again, no. Not borrowing money at 8 points, 9 points to turn around and lend you money, a soft 6 point, 5 point mortgage to buy my own property. It's no. You gotta get out. It says, listening from Freeport, you're on. Thank you. It says, inflation has nothing to do with stimulus, but rather corporate greed. I mean, you, okay. What you're saying is countermanding what the U.S. Federal Reserve has said and what most economists have been saying. If you're flooding the system with money, there's inflation. And that's also, you're also taking an ahistorical point of view. All right? We gotta go? Okay. We gotta go. We'll be back tomorrow. Take care then. Have a great day.
Alive, Burger King, Commonwealth Bank, J.S. Johnson, NUA Insurance Agents and Brokers, Ross Electric Motors, and Wendy's.